Hello everyone, welcome back to Connecting with Kylie, where today I will be discussing what it was like to date a covert narcissist. So, with that being said, I hope you guys can sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode with me. Alright you guys, so heads up, this might be a little rambly and a little long because there are a lot of details in this. I'm going to try to keep it as short as I possibly can. With giving you guys all the details of what it was like to be the narcissist, because this is not an easy relationship style or an easy attachment style either, which I will do a podcast on the attachment styles and the style of attachment that narcissists generally produce in their own relationships. But to start things off with, like, minor details about this person. I'm not going to mention his name whatsoever for his privacy's sake and also just mine too. but so this was actually fairly recent to note. This was just a few months ago, actually, and it's September 2020 right now. We're leaning towards like the end of September right now, but this was not that long ago, so it's still fairly fresh, fairly painful, but I do believe that I'm probably working through this decently fast. And given the time frame that people usually say that when you're in a relationship, it takes about like 2 to 3 times as long as the relationship duration was to actually get over that person. And the reason I say 2 to 3 times is 2 is on average, 2 times as long as the relationship was. But 3 times for people who are not very well emotionally stable with being left or leaving people. So this can take a larger toll and a longer toll on more sensitive style beings, people who have abandonment issues, which I also did a podcast on. You can check that out if you want, just to see if you might be suffering from that, because there's actually a lot of people in the world who have that kind of issue. And then honestly, just people who have been hurt just a little too much, and that causes damage throughout your life. And it doesn't even have to be per se in childhood. It can just be, you know, throughout their young adult years. They're still developing. You're not technically biologically an adult till you're at the age of 25. So most people generally have a few relationships here and there and a few heartbreaks in that range of age from childhood to age 25. And depending on what kind of relationship you have leaned more towards, you can end up giving yourself, in the long run, attachment style issues or empathetic issues, overall relationship and connection issues, all kinds of stuff, anxiety, depression, whatever you want to fish for, you can pretty much get it. So things that he would do with me. In the love bombing phase. This is part of how, like, by the end of it, I had to really, like, I remember throughout the relationship, this was a 2.5 year long relationship. I was constantly Googling, his behaviors, even my behaviors, you know, like, should I be feeling nervous all the time? Because, like, I was having, sleep problems that had just, like, suddenly arised, you know. I mean, I would have sleep problems here and there, but during this relationship, it was constant, and I would actually be so anxious and, like, so nervous all the time, because of the love bombing and then abuse that ended up ensuing. I was getting so anxious that I was actually physically having heart palpitations, and I was getting, like, sick. But when I would be with him, it was just like this, like, immediate release of all of that, and It really goes to show how, you know, like how easy it is to slip into these styles of relationships, especially when like you're being love bombed and then devalued and then discarded or recycled or like whatever the deal is, because you don't always have to be discarded. Like the relationship doesn't always have to end. There can just be like threats of an end, and like they walk away from you for a while and don't tell you anything or whatever the case is. But this is what I was generally feeling overall. And like with the love bombing phase, this is why a lot of people get so hooked on this stuff, is because the love bombing phase. So to explain what he was doing with me in that phase and how I figured all this out, like by the end of the relationship, was at first, like he would straight up, there were times where I would clock this. He would text me a minute, 2 minutes after. So like literally 60 seconds to 2 minutes after I had sent a text to him. And he would be like super excitable. He'd be easy to talk to. Kind of like charismatic, very charming, very, very charming. And I think he kind of actually knows that, which is again part of the narcissism. But he would text me like 2 minutes or less a lot of times. And it would be with lots of compliments, and we would end up spending a decent amount of time together. And he would also like future fake me here and there. Just when I would ask like questions, you know, like minor questions, well into the relationship, where like this would be a comfortable phase to just go like meet the parent, or you know, just be like, hey, how's it going? You know, nothing crazy. But he would future fake me with stuff like that and be like, yeah, I totally want to do that. You know, we can make a plan for it, kind of stuff like that. But I don't know. That was generally the love bombing phase. Unfortunately, like his love bombing got really lazy really fast, and I definitely accepted that for whatever reasons. I will get into later, but his devaluation attempts were fairly interesting. Like, not really interesting, because this is actually common with narcissists and covert narcissists. The reason he was covert is because he would be very sneaky about stuff like this, like very like under the radar, very casual, you know, no big deal, with his devaluation attempts. But he would try to make me jealous with his other coworkers. I had ended up working with him for a decent amount of time, and that's how we met. And then I left the place because I didn't agree with some things that were going on there. And he stayed. And the way that this place worked is that you could essentially live on campus and work there, and you know, go home whenever you had your free time if you wanted to, or stay, whatever. So he would try to make me jealous with other coworkers that would like be interested in him or whatever, which I mean, like he was a very attractive guy, so you know, it never shocked me that there were other women interested in him, because you know, that's kind of like, that would be any person, like any person who, you know, is cute, whatever. People are probably going to look at them and be interested in them. And that's not uncommon, even when you're in a relationship, you know, to have people look at you and to have people flirt with you. But I think the difference is what is your response to that, you know? The healthy response would be to be flattered, but you know, at the same time set a boundary and be like, hey, you know, this is where I'm at with this person. I appreciate it, but you know, I don't think we can really like cross that boundary.
And he would talk. He would talk about how all these girls were just, you know, like they would just flirt with him and they just thought so much of him. And like, it was really mildly put. So it wasn't like, you know, grandiose, like, oh, these girls are all over me. Like, it was again, like, it was covert. It was very mildly put. But at the same time, I could see what he was doing. And like, I wouldn't really react to it because I was just like, okay, you know, I have, you know, not to be like conceited or anything, but like, I have people who find me attractive as well outside of our relationship. No big deal because I don't cross that boundary, you know? So that was, that was just one thing that I noticed that I was like, huh, okay. And then he would also, I would spend a lot of time doing my makeup and like getting ready for him and just for me too, like not just for him. Sorry, that's probably sounded a little weird, but like, I mean, I love doing my makeup and I love like being creative and being like, woo, you know, having fun with that kind of stuff. But I also like to look nice for my partner, you know. I don't want to just like show up. I mean, I'd be down to show up in like sweatpants and a bun. There's nothing wrong with that. But personally, I just liked to look good. And I liked to feel good in that sense. And I liked to feel like he enjoyed me looking good. And I would spend a lot of time on that. And to me, that was kind of like, you know, that was my art a little bit. And he would put his hand over my face and like mush my face and then laugh about it. Like, and I thought he was honestly just playing, but it would be at times where it'd be like, okay, really? And it would be so often that it was almost insulting because I would tell him, I'd be like, stop, like, you really need to stop. Like, it's not, you know, I spend time on that. And like, when you just like mess it up, I mean, a few times is funny, but constant, no, it's not funny. So another thing that he would do is in the devaluation phase is that I would text him, or like, it was generally text. And I understood, you know, he was a busy guy. They work long hours over there, and I got it because like, I worked the job, so it made sense to me that he'd be busy. And he was also trying to move up in the position as well at that time, and then further down the line ended up moving up, which is another thing that you'll notice with narcissists, is they like to move up in positions, not just for money, which, I mean, money is a thing for them, but like, for status as well, because they like to be looked up to. And he would also tell me, like, okay, side note, sorry, tangent. He would also tell me about how, because of like the place that we were working at ended up being a place that had a bunch of kids in it, that you're essentially teaching. You're not a teacher, but like, it's like a behavioral health kind of deal. So you're kind of a teacher. You're just trying to help them find their way while they're there, and help them out with some emotional issues, stuff like that. But he would be so elated and talk about this all the time, how the kids would just be like so excited to see him, and they would say his name over and over and over again. And like, that's how he put it, is like, he would even say it like that, like the kids say, oh, da 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 da, and he would say his name like repeatedly, you know, and be excited about it. But like, to say that once or twice, you know, fine. But again, a constant conversation, that's a little odd. And I would pick up on some of that stuff and just be like, oh, okay, that's really weird. All right. Weird thing number two. But another thing is that he, like, with his texts, all of a sudden he just started, like, not replying, or he would leave them as a read message. So he read the message and then just never replied, which again, you know, if you're busy, not completely irrational. But I also knew something about his job, that they relied very heavily on their phones, and they were constantly on their phones. So having your phone out at your job and doing all of that stuff wouldn't have been a problem. And people were always texting each other over there, no matter what. That's literally how they communicated to each other. They had to write each other via their phones or radio one another. That was about it. So I noticed he would start to do stuff like that, and then all of a sudden he'd come back and be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was just busy," or "Oh, I'm sorry, you know, da 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 da," like just like excuse after excuse after excuse. And I rationalized it, which this is called cognitive dissonance, my kiddos. And this is a very difficult thing to deal with, because you start to make excuses for bad behavior. And when you do this, I think your sense of intuition goes completely out the window. And I was doing this. So I would make excuses for him and be like, "Oh yeah, no, it's okay. Like he's not lying, you know, he's totally busy." And I don't doubt that he wasn't busy. Like, I'm sure he was. But at the same time, you know, I had never learned really that if a guy wants to show up for you, they really will. And they'll like show up for you consistently. So I was amidst of learning all of this. And this is how fast, like, lessons come in, you guys. So, I mean, like, especially when with research, this is how fast this stuff comes in. You end up changing your mindset very quickly. So this is what was happening with me, was I was researching about him constantly and was, like, researching all this bad behavior. And there was this stuff coming up about covert narcissism constantly. And I was just like, what is the deal with this? Because, like, I know what this is. I know all about this, but like, what? I've never seen it per se, except in my childhood. So like, I think I normalized it with him. And honestly, you guys, this would get to the point where the devaluation in this scenario, like I would tell him that this bothered me, and he would do it longer and longer and longer and longer every time. So like, it would be very sporadic, you know, he'd text me here and there, and he'd be very sweet, very charming, very excusatory towards what was going on with his time schedule or whatever. But then, you know, he'd be super sweet and super charismatic and just like almost excited to talk to me at the same time, and like, "How are you doing? You know, like, I missed you," whatever. And then he would go like a week or so at a time without, like, he'd like read a message that I sent to him, and then he'd go a week or more, and then he'd text me back. And I excused this behavior for so many months, because we would be hanging out in the meantime, you know, here and there. And that was another thing, is that the amount of time that I started to spend with him started to dwindle as well. And then it would pick back up again, and then it would dwindle, and then it would pick back up again, and then it would dwindle. And that was the other thing that I was noticing, because it was like, that's part of a recycle, you know, like they have time for you when they have time for you, when they want you, when they need you, or when you're just like, you know, you're there for supply. And if there's other people feeding their supply, feeding their ego on a constant basis, you're not needed as much. So that's what I was really noticing. And he would also make like subtle rude remarks in the devaluation phase as well, like as a joke, like calling me stupid or just being like, "You're dumb." And he would like laugh about it. And weirdly, when you're in this kind of abuse, you, like, a lot of people, and I did this, I laughed too. And I was like, why even question myself? I was like, wait, why am I laughing about this? This is not funny. Because it was, again, it wasn't just one time, it wasn't two times, it wasn't three times, it was a lot. And I never understood it, because I was like, it's so funny, because there's things that, like,
this guy literally couldn't even pronounce. And I was like, how are you gonna sit there and call me dumb and me stupid when, like, first of all, from the looks of it, like, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I'm way more emotionally evolved than you. And two, like, you can't even pronounce certain things that, like, most people can pronounce. And you're gonna sit there and consistently call me dumb or me stupid and devalue me. But then, like, that's the sad reality, is, like, a lot of narcissists and covert narcissists don't realize who they really are. You know, even their faults, their greatest accomplishments, because that's fine, you know, confidence is different. But self-inflicted and imposed, like, fake realities where you're padding your resume to people when it's not true, like, that's kind of what they tend to do. Confidence is different, but and you know, I understand that sometimes confidence can kind of rub up against narcissism, but it's really all in how you present it, and where you're coming from on an energetic scale, and people will pick up on that no matter what. Like, you can say something and mean another, you know, your face, your body language, your vibes are gonna tell a whole other story. So the other thing that I noticed that he would do in a recycle phase is that, so he would apologize, like, when he was addressed to about, like, the things that would bother me, like, I would address them to him, and he would be on his best behavior for a little while, and then it would just go right in the backseat, and he'd go straight to treating me the way that he did before. And usually, honestly, it got progressively worse. The more that I was like, hey, this is wrong, this is not how you should be treating your partner, like, I understand if you need time alone, I understand if you need your space, I understand if your job is stressful, but, like, I need communication. I don't need dead silence, like, because I can deal with that for a while, but then after so long, I'm like, hey, what's the code? What's the deal? And he would tell me everything was fine, you know, he was just really busy, he was just really stressed, whatever. The lame excuses, pardon the slang, but that's really how I saw it, was just lame excuses. And you know, when this kind of stuff was, like, really heavily addressed with him, then he would be on his best behavior for quite some time, you know, and then when we were apart from each other again, he'd go right back to ignoring me, right back to reading the texts and not responding to him, ignoring phone calls, like, and it's not like I was blowing his phone up, you know, and being crazy. I would text him, like, once a day. If he didn't answer, then, you know, I wouldn't text him for a few days. So it's not like I was being overbearing or obnoxious or anything. The most I would do is be like, are you okay? And if he didn't respond to that, then I would wait, honestly, like a week, week and a half, sometimes 2 weeks. And I wouldn't even talk to him. And he would never make any efforts. He would be online all the time. And I know for sure he was on his phone every single day. So there's no way, you know, that you, like, if you really loved that person, there's no way that you'd be doing that. You know, I have friends that I speak to almost every day, and that's love. Like, not that you have to speak to that person every day for it to be love, but that's, like, true connection, you know, that's super close-knit connection where you, like, you want to talk to that person every single day, you want to love that person every day, and that's kind of what I expected, you know. I understand entirely that people need space, and that is fully acceptable with me. I'm down. I just need the words, you know, hey, I'm feeling funky, and I need some space. Give me 4 days, give me 5 days alone. Fine. Go for it. Like, I might talk to you about it later and be like, are you okay? What's up? You know, are we good? But that was the thing, is like, I expected him to be honest with me, and he couldn't be honest with me about anything. I would talk this way to him, and he couldn't be honest with me about where he was at really in the relationship. And the entire time, I ended up breaking up with him for a little while, because I really just felt like this behavior was enough. And then I really missed him, and I felt like, you know, this was the thing, was like, when I was with him, he was never a bad guy, per se, except the little things and the little, like, red flags about his previous relationships, where he was just very emotionally withdrawn with them, and absentee, almost. But just the apologizing and future faking and all of this stuff was huge clues, huge, huge, huge clues of being a covert narcissist, and the fact that he did this very much under wraps and under disguise. But he ended up, like, in the discard phase when he left me, he literally, so 2 weeks before he made this post on his Facebook page and did it publicly, by the way, he was texting me about how much he missed me, and I was telling him that I had gifts from when the last time I hadn't seen him, and it was like a week or two later, and he posts on Facebook that he's in a relationship. Well, this wasn't abnormal, but he didn't post with who, so I was like, okay, this wasn't abnormal for him to do this, because he didn't post where he lived for like a year. He didn't post where he worked for like a year and a half. So I didn't think that this was abnormal. But then I scrolled down on his page and just found a coworker of his, and just decided to click on her page and saw his Instagram tag. And she was saying, I love his, you know, blah, 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 his Instagram tag. And then I scrolled down and it said, in a relationship the same day. And the comments were saying his name. And I seriously think that I actually went into shock, and I couldn't talk for quite a while. I didn't even cry for a long time. Like, I would say a few days, I didn't even really cry. So, yeah, that's what it was like being with a covert narcissist. I am going to do a podcast here soon on how to heal from narcissistic relationships. So if you guys enjoyed this episode, please feel free to subscribe to whatever platform you're listening to this on. And please note that I will be posting new content every week, so you guys can stay updated with all the mental health issues and anything that you guys might be dealing with, and we can maybe get some self-healing done. So thank you all so much for listening, and I will see you next time.